Hi there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And this is kind of a big topic, or personal. I don't think we're going to get too personal to a certain level, but today we are talking about the trifecta of sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Woo-woo.
Right?
Good and time. So,
I mean, just in terms of the way that we've had experiences here lately that truly opened the door to have these conversations about, I don't want to say, this isn't about us and sex and us and drugs and us and rock and roll, but at the same time, it kind of is.
It kind of very much is, and I don't want anyone to be uncomfortable. We're not getting into the proverbial weeds, you know, we're not getting into TMI.
Yeah, and
exactly.
Everything.
We're just talking about, I had a recent experience, and
I think we just open it up with that. I mean, share with the listeners about your recent gynecologist appointment.
Well, and that's more probably TMI than people want to know, but anyone out there who is a wheelchair user such as myself, you know how difficult it is to, well, not anyone, because you have to be a woman who is a wheelchair user, and you know how difficult, or even to be a woman with limited mobility, you know how difficult it is to go for those yearly exams. And I had to do that, and I'm very fortunate that I have a caregiver in Jen and I have a caregiver spouse in Dan. So it was that time of year, and I went, and it wasn't as uncomfortable as I remembered. It was limited transfer for you, Dan, which
Absolutely.
Was important.
Yep.
Post hernia. So that was good, and I was excited. It wasn't a table I had to lay on. It was just a chair that I had to sit in and get transferred to. But the uncomfortable part kicked in, maybe 10 minutes after the exam started. And it was a conversation, actually.
And you had not gone to the table. This was just more the formality paperwork questions, of which the gynecologist was asking you. And in fairness, she was new. You have not had her before.
No,
and so
I
she
hadn't.
Was asking you as, hey, I'm your OBGYN. I have questions.
And it was interesting because I had just introduced her to my husband, Dan, and my caregiver, Jen. And she turned to me, and her probably third thing was, now you don't still have sex, do you?
It's like you I just wanted to have the scratch noise of a record where it's just like,
yeah, well, okay, do you remember me introducing you to my husband? And it was a little uncomfortable because my caregiver's there, but I am only 51 years old. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know at first. I was like, oh, honey, I'm not that old. So I was giving her the grace that she thought that because it was an old person. But then I talked to my caregiver afterwards in the car on the way home, and she said, oh, no, Jen, I think she meant it because of your disability. And so I don't know, you, Dan, as a fellow, one of my brethren, disabled people, I don't know if I should be offended because of that, or if that's the kind of language, because then she like kicked me in the head again when she said, now how long have you been wheelchair bound?
Again, like, the record scratch.
I'm like, no, sweetheart. This wheelchair is my independence. This is my mobility. This is my freedom, if you will. I mean, I am still unable to walk and go lots of places I want to go, but this chair makes it possible. So that, trust me, in the nicest possible way, in her post-visit summary, I said, watch your language and, you know, keep in mind that my chair is my independence and I'm still living and breathing. And so I don't want to talk too much, Dan, but I have just a little bit more to the story.
Well, you go ahead.
So I go to this gynecologist, and maybe a week and a half later, I saw my primary care physician, or my primary care provider, and I was recounting, because I'm still a little sore and salty about this visit with a doctor, and I was telling my PCP, and she said, no, that never should have happened. That language was slightly insensitive. I think she may have said a little more than slightly, but she defended her fellow doctor, which at first I was like, nah, but I get it. And that's why Dan and I wanted to talk about this with our fellow disabled community. Those of you out there who are caregivers or yourself living with a disability, she said, you know, in reality, a lot of disabled people are not still sexually active. Again, I don't want to get into people's personal lives, but she said, you know, there are issues. There's spasticity, there's incontinence, there's difficulty finding a partner. And she, you know, my PCP, again, kind of excused away the gynecologist's insensitivity or unfamiliarness, but just, you know, Jen, give her a little bit of a break, that, you know, and it was looking at it from a different perspective. So maybe my PCP did soften the blow a little bit. So I don't know. I mean, I told you, Dan, about what my provider told me in both instances. What do you think?
Well, I think that, you know, as I'm sitting there as your husband in the exam room with your caregiver sitting right there, and obviously, you know, we're talking about it here now on our podcast, mm-hmm. and I don't think, we're not getting into the specifics and TMI and everything, but I think it's just, I think that the question and the assumption that because of, on the two points of which you speak in terms of being older and a person with a disability, to say, I think it's just the limiting way the question was asked. It's like it was, now you're still not having sex, are you? And it's just like it's just like your husband sitting right there. And, you know, and how are you going to say this with your caregiver sitting right there? And I think it's just the way that the question was asked in terms of limiting your response or assuming what your answer would be. I mean, it would have been just as easy to be more open about it, to say, and just saying, are you still sexually active? You know, and not prefacing it and saying, well, because you're 51 and in a wheelchair, are you? I think it is. It's just the way that the question was almost like positioned. So, you know, it's like when they talk about
funny choice of words.
Yeah, but I think it, you know, just the way that they talk about how, like your political surveys and how you ask those questions in political surveys, almost like channeling the person's response to answer in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that, you know, for a medical professional who deals with these things on a daily basis, who works with patients.
Well, as I've made reference to before, she was rather young, and maybe she didn't have a lot of experience working with women with disabilities, let alone women with disabilities who have their spouse and their caregiver sitting in the same room, because that was needed. And I wrote in the survey that this was a teachable moment.
Right.
And I don't know if any of you out there and listening feel like, I'm tired of teachable moments. I have a disability. I've lived this way. I've been in my chair for almost 25 years. I'm tired of teaching people.
No, I like that. I mean, just because you just get to a point after mm-hmm. dealing with it and living with it for so long. But I think that's also, on some levels, I don't want to say a teachable moment for those of us who are living with disabilities for years. Just in that understanding that, yeah, these people are new, and how else will they learn? And I think that's one thing, is you don't like snap back at them right mm-hmm. then and there and make them feel bad. But it is something within the survey or just conversations with other, you know, medical providers, that it's like, these are things that you need to be aware of in how you frame the questions mm-hmm. and not assume things from the beginning and be more, because I think then with the whole like wheelchair bound, and I was just like, oh honey, you're just like, you know, and I love that you just comment back, you know, this is my independence. And I think those are the things, as far as working in a teachable moment without, you know, what is the phrase, kill them with kindness. I mean, they're learning, and we deal with this stuff every day. How can you expect somebody who doesn't deal with it? Mm-hmm. You know, and so you give them the grace, the same grace that I would hope people would give me. So, I mean, I hope you would go back to her, because I thought she was a great doctor, great everything.
She was incredibly, I think she was a little uncomfortable in the beginning.
Yeah.
But honestly, I would be as well. And she was great, and she was super kind and thorough, and mm-hmm. the practice is fantastic.
Absolutely.
And so I will go back, and that's why I don't want to say anything like, oh, you nitwit or something. It wasn't like that. It is just, I expect someone like a doctor to give me a little grace, and in return, I'm giving her grace.
Yeah.
And I'm understanding her, and I think that's what the world needs to be. It's a little more patient, understanding. But I think it still makes me chuckle. And
oh, absolutely, because it's just a very personal question. Obviously, we're talking about it here, but I think these are the conversations to put out there, just to get people thinking about this in terms of how they interact with others, and then also then for people like us living with the disease, how you need to be kind when people like doctors or other friends, family, maybe mess up or don't ask the things in the mm-hmm. right way. How do we teach them so that they don't do it again, or at least to be mindful of it, to be thinking about it? And so, yeah, this it was a good reminder for all of us, really.
Yeah, and a good fun, if you can say fun, experience. But just, you know, we walked away with a story and learned, you know, we ourselves learned something, and my caregiver learned something, and trust me, my girlfriends I've talked to about it, and you know, that is, we need to be more sensitive and just be willing to not snap back. And yeah. You know, I know with disability, it gets hard to be teachable all the time or to teach others, but really, it didn't take me that long to just say, no, my wheelchair is my independence, or yeah, I'm, you know, just so, yeah, that's it. And I don't want to beat the point.
No.
Because now we can talk about drugs.
Drugs. Oh, the drugs. And we've talked about things with like disease modifying therapies for multiple sclerosis. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about the astronomical costs and everything. But at the same time, it's just, we've lived with the disease for so long. But what happens when new medications get introduced to our recommended prescribed things that don't get covered? And that's what we're dealing with right now. I mean, obviously, it helped that my insurance will cover, you know, my Ocrevus. And there's a patient assistance program to help with the astronomical costs. I get it. But the one drug that I had been on that I stopped taking, but then my neurologist, Dr. Braley, prescribed to help me with my walking, and it's the compounded pharmacy version of Empira to help with the longevity of my walking. My company, my new company, insurance does not cover it, will not cover it. And they had sent a letter saying, we are not covering blah, 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 and you can appeal this. And so I took it to when we went and visited with Dr. Braley for our annual appointment, and her fellow was there. She reviewed it, and they looked into things because she said, well, we can appeal it, or there is the drug company of sorts, if you want to call that, that Mark Cuban has that will cover this for $20 a month. No questions asked. And so they approved it. Thank you, Mark Cuban. So I'm getting that. But I think it's so odd that the medicine that my doctor, my neurologist, is prescribing for me, that has every reason to be given because my walking's not anywhere near the way it used to be, but anything that will help to build the endurance so I have a little more staying power when I'm walking. And you've said, I've noticed it makes a ton of difference, but it's just like, why are we as people living with MS so contingent on other ways to pay for and get our drugs covered?
Yeah, and I don't think it's solely those of us living with MS. I think all of us Americans are paying more for medication. I suppose the bright spot for me, if there is a bright spot, is that a medication you are taking, you would take. I remember when you started it, Dan, where you were like, I don't know if this is really working. Is it worth it? And then you stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, that's a horrible way that you have to find out that a drug is working. But you were able to say, yeah. And once you started it again, your walking improved. And it seems you're less liable to be stumbling over your feet. And I don't know if that is what's giving you a little more energy, where you're able, your longevity. I mean, yes, you did just say that it improves your stamina.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. I mean, I still walk very gingerly, and I'm clumsy. But at the same time, it helps. You know, every little bit helps. So that's
and
really,
we're not endorsing a medication or anything. We're just talking about the fact that, you know, patients need access to the drugs that doctors prescribe. And if we had a magic wand, we would make that possible for all Americans.
Yep.
And it's, I think it's good, and I'm happy that you are able to have that drug and that helps you. And, you know, we just have to, as patients, we have to keep our options open and keep that going.
Well, I think that's just where you hit the nail on the head there, is like, in those of us living with MS, and like you say, just everybody, you know, talk to other people, talk to your healthcare provider. I mean, what are the options that are there? Because straight out of the gate, I get this thing. I'm like, I need to file an appeal. But then when she says, oh, or you could do this, you know, or maybe there's another drug that's out there that my insurance would cover. So I think it's just that continuing to be your best advocate to find the resources.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but today this happened. This is something we haven't really talked about, but I was at my support group meeting. I belong to the ANCAN support group, which is a virtual support group. It's just a really good opportunity to talk with people across the country who are living with MS. And so we were at the group today, and I was talking, I don't know how we got on the subject of arthritis and osteoporosis. And one of the members talked about how he was also living with osteoporosis. Not that I am, but I'm always conscious of it because I've had the disease for almost 30 years and I've used steroids to treat it, to treat the MS. And that's really hard on your bones and your bone density. And he just talked about perhaps changing medications to a drug. And I saw a commercial last night and I commented to you, Dan. Again, we're not endorsing a medication, but we saw it for Kesimpta and how Kesimpta doesn't need that steroid that you take with the disease modifying therapies that you and I are both on. So that opened our eyes to that. And, you know, yes, I've been on my drug for 20 years or 15 years and it works really well. But keep your eyes open. And I suppose that's where you have to put the put a little bit of the focus on yourself. Keep your eyes open and be conscious of what's available. Talk to groups and that AnCan group just to have that conversation today. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about that. And then they were talking about different supplements to take to help your bones if you have in fact taken Cyamandrol or steroids for dozens of years, just ways to increase your bone density. So I thought that was really good, and that's a drug for the sex, drugs, and rock and roll conversation.
I think it, and it is interesting just how we take the drugs to treat something, but then you always have to take another drug to deal with the side effects of the drugs you use to treat yourself. And
that's like the American way.
I got a humidifier because my dehumidifier was making my house dry, and I don't know. So yeah, it's just, but it just the whole drug thing. And this is something I'm mentioning it now, and we'll stick a pin in it. But I want to, in a future episode, talk about walking and not walking, and just the sense of, you know, when we're looking at all the ways to stay healthy and stuff, and all of the doctor recommendations are, well, you need to walk, you need to stand, you need to jump, you need to exercise, blah, blah, blah. And how unfair that is for people who can't walk.
Well, and that's just, that opened up a conversation today just because of osteoporosis or bone density. Mm-hmm. And one of the best ways to increase bone density is to jump rope. Well, I haven't stood, but I mean, I stand. I haven't walked or stood pretty independently for so many years, not to beat a dead horse, but to jump rope. I'm like, that's just crazy. And I'm sorry, I'm very Roy Kent today.
we'll stick a pin in it, because I think
conversation that's for another
episode. But so, you know, talking about the drugs, but then let's talk about the rock and roll. And the other thing too, we will have links in the liner notes and show notes for this, because I think just in terms of osteoporosis and drugs, and I think then also you talk about AnCan, we'll have a link to that group as well.
And those links will be on our website, acoupletakesonms.com.
Yeah, so rock and roll, then talk to me about this. Jennifer, didn't tell me about the recent concert you saw like 2 weeks ago today.
Good times. We went to see Train and Bare Naked Ladies and Matt Nathanson here in Michigan at Pine Knob Music Amphitheater. And it was so much fun. But you ever know, like, you go into it, oh, we are going to have the best handicap accessible seats.
We always have the best seats always at Pine Knob. Always the best
seats. And they treat us so wonderfully, and we have such a good time. And then you get there, and you walk into your seats, and you're our seats are always over there on the left.
That's a long walk to go on the other side of the amphitheater. These must be better seats.
And the seats are two steps down.
From the main concourse.
How is that possible, Toots? I can't walk down two steps. Well, yeah, actually, I was having one of those newbie moments, and I bought tickets that were not accessible. Not just tickets for you and me, but caregiver Jen was with us.
Right.
So the three of us thank heavens we were early for once and not always like squeezing the lemon to get there on time. And we got there and this frustrated Jennifer and Dan and Jen are standing there like, we can't get down two steps. And this cute young usher, for lack of a better word, mm-hmm. but he was someone with on the staff at Pine Knob, saw my frustration and he helped us with two of his coworkers find accessible seats.
And I thought that was cool because when he was there, I mean, the nicest people, but he said, you know, in terms of like the seating, and he says, well, we can put you over and blah, blah, blah. But and Jennifer, yeah, I mean, you were so like, are you sure? Are you sure? And he says, this is exactly why we have these seats, for these exact reasons, when people need accessible seats. And I mean, so they, it's like they, because we're standing there because he had thought, oh, we'd maybe only be able to get you and a caregiver in the accessible section. And so one of us would be either Jen or I would have to sit by ourselves. But I mean, granted, there's over 16,000 fans at Pine Knob. And so you're not going to be alone. And that's just the energy that these groups bring. Yeah. But fortunately, they were able to get all three of us in the same section,
which was very nice.
Phenomenal.
And appreciated. And of course it's Michigan in the summer, so it's always cloudy where you're looking. Is it going to rain? And because we were not in the accessible seats that we had thought we were going to be in, we were a little outside of the pavilion, the cover, and I'm in an electric wheelchair, so I'm looking at the clouds and I'm getting a little nervous because it's getting a little more rainy looking. And serendipitously, this nice couple sitting in front of us decided to leave, probably wanted to beat the rush of people leaving, or they saw Bare Naked Ladies and they were good to go, and they let us move forward with the blessing of the nice ushers that had helped us a bit earlier. And we moved forward. And so we were under the covers. And sure enough, it did start raining. And we missed all of the rain, which was such a blessing. And we were able to see the concert and have a really good time.
And Jennifer went into greater detail into this. And so there's details and photos and videos from the concert on an essay that she wrote for our blog, A Couple Takes on MS.com. And we'll have a link to that in the show notes. But I just thought, it was an experience, because that could have been just the worst concert experience ever.
Yeah.
But it ended up being one of the best. And again, I think that's just where you circle back around. It's just like, it's easy to get frustrated, like, you know, like we could have done with, you know, things that the doctor said, things that the insurance won't cover, and then horrible, you know, not accessible seats at Pine Knob. But it's just mm-hmm. like, just to be able to pause and find a solution to things. And I think you're going to find the solutions when you stay calm and just be kind and give yourself and give others grace, because you weren't beating yourself up about it. You were frustrated because you're just like, I should have known better. But at the same time, that's like among the first times you actually got tickets through the website and not talking to a specific person.
And it's, I'm just throwing it out there that for disability, to find the accessible tickets, it's really important to click on the right button mm-hmm. or to slide the little toggles. And so take a moment and, you know, double check before you check out with your tickets. You know, we were really lucky, and I don't want that experience to happen again. And mm-hmm. maybe if it happened again, Pine Knob wouldn't be able to accommodate us. But I think they would, just from the experience or what they said. But we got lucky this time. Mm-hmm. So make sure you check all those boxes and, you know, pack your patience for yourself and for others when you go out and about.
Wow.
Good times. And I don't want to say the summer is over, but the kids are back at school.
Their kids are back at school. I think CMU starts next week-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but again, what is it? It's the 25th right now. I mean, so we've got a whole nother month pretty much before it actually officially becomes fall. So don't, you know, game lasts 9 innings. So we're like in the bottom of the 7th. I mean, we still got a couple more innings to go. So enjoy it.
You make a good point. You're right. Enjoy it and look back on the summer fondly. We had a good time.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So, well, very good. Well, again, we will have more information and details and links to a lot of the stuff we talked about in the liner notes on our website and in the show notes wherever you get your podcast. So, wow. So there, that was your sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
And it wasn't as salacious as it sounded. But, I mean, I hope that people realize that those moments are teachable, not only for others, but for ourselves.
A lesson learned.
Back to school. Whoa. Right. Whoa, that was a moment.
Right.
Nice wrap up there, Mr. Dickman.
So, all right. Well, again, thank you all for listening. And check in and let us know your experiences with concerts, with doctors, and how you respond to that when doctors don't say the right things. And just let us know on our website is acoupletakesonms.com or... There is. Email us to acoupletakesonms@gmail.com.
Look at me learning again.
See, there's your lesson. That's your extra credit. So, but thank you all for listening again. So until then, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman and I'm walking.
I'm Jennifer Digman, who's rolling.
And together we're moving forward. Take care.